Amen. Good morning. How is everybody today? Good to see you. We're glad to be together and to worship and to connect with Jesus, whose name is power and who is with us in his power. Our desire today is for each of you and all of us together to connect with God, to encounter him in a very real way. And as we said at the beginning, if you have some special need or an issue in your life that you would like us to pray with you about, to pray for, we want to do that. We're going to give you an opportunity in just a few minutes. What I want to do to set the stage for that time of prayer is to take us back to James chapter 5. It's a passage we looked at a few weeks ago as we were concluding the series on James. So you might want to turn there to James chapter 5. We're going to zero in on verses 14 and 15. And I'm not going to preach today, just give a couple of comments about these verses. And then we're going to spend some time in prayer and allow you an opportunity to seek prayer. But as you're turning there, I want to tell you a little story. And maybe you have experiences in healing, divine healing, ways in which God has touched you or someone you know. I could share several. When I was growing up in my church in Ohio and over the years as a pastor and praying for people and seeing God heal, and then other times he chose not to heal and not really understanding that. In his book called Surprised by the Spirit, Jack Deere tells a story that I think illustrates that well. And I want to begin just by telling you that story. On January 15th of 1990, Dwayne Miller, the pastor of the Brentwood, Texas church, finished preaching the morning service. And as he was concluding, he lost his voice. He was unable to preach in the evening. He went to the doctor. The doctor told him he should take a six-month sabbatical to rest his voice. When that didn't help, he went back and he was told that the myelin sheath in his vocal cords was permanently damaged and he would never have his voice back. He tried various treatments and options and voice therapy. Nothing worked. So in the fall of that year, he resigned from his position as the pastor of the church. At the beginning of 1992, he began to teach an adult Sunday school class, a large class at the First Baptist Church in Houston, Texas. He was able to do that through the use of a very special microphone. And when he used this microphone, he could get out just enough so that he could be heard. And when he was done, he could hardly eat or drink anything for 2 days because his voice hurt so bad, his throat hurt so bad. In January 17th, 1993, he was teaching that class, about 200 adults. He was teaching from Psalm 103. And he came to that third verse where it says, he heals all our diseases. He forgives our sins and heals all our diseases. He read the verse and he proceeded to make some comments about that verse and the teaching on healing. And he explained that there are essentially two extreme views on divine healing today. One is that God always heals when a person prays in faith. God always brings healing. And the other extreme, of course, is that God doesn't perform healing today. He no longer does that. That was just something he did in the first century. He proceeded to say, you know, when we look at this that way, we're putting God in a box. And we shouldn't do that. What we should do, he said, is we should follow the scriptures. We should pray for healing and trust God for it, but then leave the results to God. And then he proceeded to the next verse, which talks about his redemption. He redeems our life from the pit. And as soon as he started on that next phrase, something changed. His voice changed. And he could feel in his throat something had happened, and that uncomfortable, painful feeling was gone. He paused, and then he continued to talk, and it was obvious to everyone that God had touched him and healed him, and he was speaking normally. People began to erupt and cheer and applaud in a room of about 200 as he shared, you know, is this happening? What I think is happening? Everyone was weeping and crying. And as they were leaving, people were saying, this was a demonstration. We saw the power of God at work right in front of us today. It was a wonderful, wonderful experience. Well, Pastor Miller said, as he was commenting on this experience, he said, I wish I could tell you that I knew exactly what happened or maybe even that I was anticipating it, trusted God for it, and knew it was going to happen, but none of that is true. He said, for 3 years, almost to the day, I lost my voice. I'd never understood why I lost my voice in the first place, and I really never understood why God gave it back to me. Such is the mystery of divine healing. And you may have various experiences yourself that either you personally have had or those that you know or love. As I mentioned earlier, I certainly do. Well, when we come to our text today, we can see that James is directing us to take advantage of God's desire to heal. Now, there are many questions swirling around this issue, and there certainly are extreme views, but there are several things that are clear. That's all I want to do today is zero in on what is clear, and let's just take God at his word and focus on what is very clear. The first thing that is very perfectly clear in this text is that God wants us to be people of prayer. We learned that a few weeks ago. All the way from verse 13 to 16, in every single verse, it says pray, 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 pray. If you're sick, pray. If you're happy, praise God, you know, pray. And we're emphasizing that. In fact, the next week, we're going to have Reverend Richard LaFountain here. I brought a couple of his books in here with me. Some of you know Pastor LaFountain. He served as a missionary, a pastor, church planner. He's served as an author, conference speaker, and so forth. But he's written some books on prayer, and he's had some really difficult experiences in his own life when his daughter was killed tragically when he was a missionary in Brazil. He wrote a book called Restoring Shattered Faith. So he's going to be with us next week. And the reason we're bringing him here again, he's been here before, is because we're taking this passage at its word. God said, I want you to be people of prayer. And we want to pray. And we need instruction. Just as the early disciples said, Lord, teach us to pray. We need to learn. We need to grow. So he's coming next week. Now, if you haven't already signed up to be part of the seminar, I hope you will. You can go out to the information center after the service and sign up. Otherwise, just come to the service and you'll hear him teach during the worship service. But then afterwards, we're going to go up and have a time of lunch together and further teaching. So the first thing that is very clear, God wants us to be people of prayer. And we're growing and we're learning. And I encourage you to come and also to join us on Monday nights. There are a group of us that gather here and we pray and we're trusting God to move in our church and to move in our lives. Pray. God says, pray. I want you to pray. It's very clear, very simple. We don't need to make it complicated. Let's pray. The second thing that is very clear is that when we're sick, he tells us exactly what to do. Look at verse 14. Is any of you sick? Okay, when you're sick, what do? He says very plainly, call the elders of the church. Call the elders of the church. Now, if you'll think back to last week, when we look down at the end of the chapter, at the end of the book, it says in verse 19, my brothers, if one of you should wander from the truth and someone should bring him back. Now, notice what he said. He didn't say, call the elders of the church. He said, one of you should bring him back. If someone wanders, one of you. And again, I just want to emphasize that we're all involved in that. And we're all to pray for one another as well. But specifically then, he said, if one of you is sick, you should call the elders. So does that mean if you have a cold, you get a head cold, you should call John Busalaki and say, John, come on over, I got a cold. I don't think that's what it means. The term sick actually means to be weak. In fact, some don't even believe that he's talking about physical healing here, but more spiritual healing. But I believe it's clear from the text and from the usage of the terminology throughout the New Testament that he's talking about the whole gamut of healing, including physical healing. So you take that, and then you take, as I mentioned when we looked at this passage a few weeks ago, the expression to come to him, to come to you and to pray over you. That can have a couple of different ideas. It could be that you're sitting down, they're praying over you. It could be that you're infirm, you can't get up. And so they come to you and pray over you. We believe in the Alliance Church that if you become ill, you should go to the doctor. You should seek all current medical care and treatment that you can possibly receive. But you should also call the elders of the church. You should call them. Right here in the scriptures clearly telling us to do that. And then, okay, that's the clear thing, number one. Number two, what are the elders to do when you call them? Two things, very clear, very simple. Anoint you with oil, in the name of pray over you. Those two things. So again, it's prayer. Now, the issue of anointing, again, there's some questions about that. I don't want to go into detail here this morning, other than to say that the term that he's using here can be used for medicinal kind of oil treatment, but it's also used for a ceremonial anointing. And that's what we do. That's what we practice. That's what we believe James is talking about. So we have oil. We use olive oil, which likely was something they might have used. Now, there's nothing magical about the oil. The oil isn't what heals. And the prayer isn't even what heals. It's God who heals. But the oil is symbolic of the Holy Spirit, whom we're trusting for healing. So James makes it very clear, if you're sick, it could be an emotional issue, something you're battling with, some spiritual struggle, some physical ailment, such as the loss of your voice. Or when I was growing up, one of my friends in junior high broke his leg. He had cancer in his leg. Our whole church prayed and fasted for a month. And when he went in for the final pre-op examination before they amputated his leg, the doctors came out scratching their heads saying, "We don't understand it. There's no cancer in his leg." And God healed him. We're trusting God to do the healing. So there's one question here. You'll notice it says in verse 15. It's very clear so far what we do. If you're sick, you call the elders. The elders come, they anoint you and pray for you, anointing you with oil. And it says the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise him up. If he has sinned, he will be forgiven. We talked about the connection at times between sickness and sin. I'm not going to go into that this morning. But what does it mean, the prayer offered in faith? This is one of the questions we don't have a definitive answer for. Isn't all prayer supposed to be offered in faith? James said at the very beginning, remember, if we lack wisdom, we should go to God and ask for it. But we must not doubt and be like a wave, you know, tossed back and forth. All prayer is to be offered in faith. So there are a couple different views that people have taken on this expression. One is that it could be that God gives kind of this sense clearly given to one of the elders that I am going to heal this one. So they're able to trust and claim that because God has given them a word. That certainly is possible. And I think it does happen. But it isn't necessarily always that way. And I also would add that one of the difficulties with that is that it's very subjective. Because we all want the person to be healed. And we often, we're only able to view things through our own human perspective. For example, if you would have been living in the first century when John the Baptist was taken prisoner, would you have been praying for his deliverance or would you have believed that he would be beheaded by a drunken King Herod? Or even Jesus in his suffering. So often we want the person to be delivered from suffering. We want them to be healed. And so we can easily say, yes, I believe God wants that too, and he is going to do that. That's one of the dangers of that subjective element. So that's certainly possible that that's what God wants us to do, and that's what James is talking about. But I think, again, I'm just going to say another way to look at it is let's just take it at face value. Let's just do exactly what it says. If someone is sick and they call the elders, we'll pray for you, and we're going to believe God to heal you with the faith that we have. And then finally, leave the results with God. I do not believe that verse 15 is a blanket promise that everyone who prays or calls the elders is going to be healed. That's clear from the rest of Scripture. Even Paul prayed 3 times for healing and did not receive that healing. And it's also consistent with what we experience. If God chose to heal everyone who trusted him for that healing and prayed in faith, we wouldn't die. So it isn't consistent. So there are some questions swirling around this issue. What we're saying as a church and as a movement in the CNMA is that we believe God heals. We've seen him do it. Let's just take him at his word. Let's take him at his word. And let's trust him for it. And so as I kind of wrap up, and I want you to be thinking now, if there's something you would like us to pray for you for this morning, a couple things I want to mention. Just kind of things to keep in mind on this issue. Number one, let's bear in mind and not forget the redemptive value of suffering. Now, we live in a culture of comfort and ease. We have everything. We got the AC running. And I mean, we live in comfort. We have lives of ease compared to most people throughout history. We don't like suffering. And so when we have some issue, we want God to take it away. Like yesterday, you know, it shouldn't be there. But my friends, God uses suffering in our lives. James talked about that, about the perseverance that develops when we face trials of various kinds. Paul wrote about it in Romans chapter 5. Perseverance, it develops all these things in our life. Perseverance that we cannot experience and develop otherwise. So there is a redemptive value in suffering. We need to bear that in mind as we're seeking healing and deliverance from our suffering. It's not a way to excuse it or perhaps a reason not to seek it, but it's a way to understand it all in the larger picture. And then the second thing, just a reminder, and that is that the physical healing that we may receive from God, and he does grant at times, remember, it is only temporary, right? The ultimate healing is on the other side. When we're resurrected to new life, we have resurrected bodies. That's where the ultimate, true, final healing is. So we need to trust God for healing. And again, I just conclude with one other story from my church growing up. And again, I could share some stories like this of my ministry, but this one was so clear to me, and it's consistent, kind of comes back, circles around to the story of Pastor Miller. I share with you about Tim, the contemporary of mine growing up in our church, and how God healed him. There was another contemporary of mine. Her name was Debbie, and in high school, she came down with cancer, and her father was one of our lay pastors, and he was a preacher in the church. And I remember very distinctly this image in my mind on a Sunday night, him standing in the little podium on half the church like this, and he's standing there and claiming that she is healed in the name of Jesus Christ. And he believed it. He trusted it. I don't know what was going on. I don't think there was sin anywhere. But he was claiming it, believing it, trusting it. And the Lord chose not to heal her. And she died when she was 17 years old. So again, I'm just simply saying that there's so many questions, so many things that we don't understand. So my view is we trust God for it and we leave the results to God. He's sovereign. He's going to do what he's going to do. But if he's a loving father saying, come to me, and ask, why would we not do that? Why would we not do that? And trust him for it. So what we're going to do now is we're going to transition into a time of worship and singing and a time of seeking God. So I'm going to ask you today, are you sick? Doesn't have to be physical sickness. The term, as I said, has a connotation of being weak. Are you depleted? Is there something missing, something going on, some issue in your life that you would love to have God touch and take care of? James says, if you are, call the elders of the church. And they'll anoint you and pray over you in the name of the Lord. And we're going to spend some time, we're just going to wait on God while we're singing. And if you would like prayer, just ask you while we're singing, we're going to stand while we're singing, just to slip out and go into the back, and the elders are waiting back there. We'd love to pray for you. And then once we're done, however long that takes, whatever happens there, we're just going to trust God. And then when we're done with that, then we're going to have communion together. But God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we could ask or imagine. I mean, healing, whatever's going on in your life is a small thing to God. And so would you trust him to touch you? Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for your goodness to us, that you love us. You care about every dimension of our lives. You don't just save our souls. You care about our bodies and our minds and our emotions. And you've provided healing for every dimension of our lives. And we know ultimately one day when you raise us, you'll give us a body just like Jesus' glorified body. And there'll be no more sickness, no more pain, no more suffering, and no more tears. We thank you for the little glimpses of that which comes that day. We thank you for glimpses of that you provide in divine healing that you grant. And so, Lord, we trust you today. And, Lord, that one here today that's come with a heavy heart, a burden, I pray that your spirit would speak very clearly. And if you want them to call the elders, that they would just have the courage to step out and do that today. And we're looking to you, Lord. It's not us. It's not me, the elders. It's not the oil. It's not even the words we utter in the prayer. It's you. And we look to you, Lord Jesus. You are power. You are healer. And we don't want to simply go through the motions. We don't want to just simply trust you for eternal life. We want to trust you for our needs today, right now where we are. And so we say, oh God, would you come? Would you come in your fullness? Help us to encounter you. Thank you, oh God, for your love. Thank you that you are love expressed in your Son, Jesus. We pray this in his name. Amen.